Matthew's Gospel, please, chapter 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. Commencing to read at verse number 20, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 20. May I say that I wrestled with the message for this morning for a long time, whether to bring a Christmas-related message or to bring an end-of-the-year message. And I believe that the Lord would help me to bring an end-of-the-year message. And the message is particularly for Christians. Christ's call to the Christian for 2011. Christ's call to the church in Lurgan for 2011. And what is Christ's call to my own church in Rathfreiland for 2011? Well, Christ calls his children to serve him with true hearts, fervently. And I want to read with you, please, from verse 20 of Matthew 12. Then began Jesus to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto the heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then comes these three wonderful verses, so well known to us. Christ is speaking, and he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And may God bless to our hearts the reading of his own precious word for his dear name's sake. These are wonderful verses, and my prayer is that they will bring a great blessing to you this morning. For here we see Christ speaking to the sinner, and we see the sinner coming to Christ for salvation. Here we see Christ speaking to the saint, and the saint coming that they might serve him. And of course we see Christ speaking to the student, the one that sits at his feet and listens to his word, that he might learn of Christ. But of course that takes the submission. The sinner coming is salvation. The saint coming is service. But the student coming to sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ is to learn of him in meek and humble submission. And I believe that that is Christ's call to the individual Christian for 2011. But as we look back over the year that is closing, how closely have you and I walked with Christ? Have we grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have we set our affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high? Are we being daily conformed unto the image of God's dear Son? For that is God's will for you and for me. But listen again to these lovely words of Christ at the end of this year. And he's still saying to the unsaved, to the sinner, to the godless, come unto me. Oh, the simplicity of that call. It is just to come to Christ and receive him as your personal Savior. But I want you to note the authority behind the call. For the one that's calling you is Christ himself. And please, dear friend, take heed to what he said. Come, the simplicity of the call, but he says, come unto me. He's calling you and me to himself. Oh, the dignity and the authority of that call. But you can see the extremity. It's to the heavy laden. And you can see the legacy that he leaves for the Christian and for the saint. It is rest. Have you entered into his rest? Have you entered into Christian rest this morning? Do you know his peace garrisoning your heart day by day? For he says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you take the burden of Christ upon you, dear friend, you will discover that that burden is indeed light. And he will himself bear the burden that he lays on you. For he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you know the care and the comfort of Christ down through this past year or this closing year? When we were in the prayer meeting this morning, a brother was praying for those who are bereaved. And the bereavement seems to be more severe at this time of the year for some reason. And the grief is heavy. But it is on occasions like that when sorrow and sadness and sickness comes into our homes that we need to know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Dear friends, trust him, and you'll find him wholly true. He never let you down. He never forsake you. He never ever say goodbye. He'll be with you even unto the very end of the age. Now let me try and get this over to you, friends, that Christ loves you as one of his children. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's an unfathomable love. It's an unquenchable love. It's an unceasing love. It's an unending love. For we are loved with everlasting love. Led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above. Thou hast taught me it is so. But not only does he want you to know that he loves you, but he wants to comfort you. He wants your fellowship. He desires your fellowship. But do you desire his? Or have the things of the world come in? And the fellowship, the sweet fellowship that you once known is broken. You're not walking as close to your Lord as you used to walk.
And all the time his call to you is this: come and walk with me, even as Enoch walked. Come and talk with me, and I'll be with you. And what fellowship we will have together. He'll bring us into his banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. But here's something, friend. Not only does Christ love us, not only does Christ desire our fellowship, but do you know what Christ wants? As the year ends and a new year commences, he wants your help. He wants you to work with him. He wants you to give yourself to him. He wants to indwell you that he might work through you for your good, for your blessing, and his eternal glory. And I hope and pray this morning that the voice of our beloved will touch your heart this morning. You remember it was said of a company of people that followed Saul of old, that they were a band of men whose hearts the Lord had touched. And oh, this morning, friends, that there might be a band of men and women who will commence a new year whose hearts the Lord has touched. Hearts touched by God. Men and women walking in close fellowship with him and the light of his love. Friends, and he'll enable us by his indwelling spirit. For the Spirit of truth will take the things of Christ and he'll reveal them to each one of our hearts, that we might be able to say of him, this is my beloved. This is my friend. He's altogether lovely. 10,000 charms around him shine. But best of all, I know he's mine. Look, take him down into a new year with you. Walking in fellowship with him. Rejoicing in his love. With his peace filling and filling your soul. And letting him work in you and through you for his glory by the power of the indwelling Spirit. Oh, may your witness for Christ be effective. But dear Christian, do you know what the Lord Jesus calls you to this morning? He calls you to solace. Yes, trying days will come. And for many, 2010 brought their difficult testing days. But listen, he wants to comfort you. And that comfort will take you down into 2011. He wants you and me close to himself. And his arms are outstretched and he's saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. Friend, don't apply that text only to the unsaved. If you do so, it's true enough. For he says to every sinner, come unto me and I will give you rest. For there is no other place of rest for the wicked. There is no rest, saith my God, for the wicked. But we can never forget that moment when divine light from on high broke into our darkened souls. And we found that this exhortation was for believers as well as for sinners. And we pillowed our head in that bosom of rest. Oh, what a haven of rest he was for our souls. And how many times since have we found delight in resting our heads and pillowing our heads upon his breast. Sure, he's wonderful, isn't he? He's altogether lovely. He's able to succor. He's able to comfort. And He's calling you, dear Christian, to solace. Will you come for it? It's yours for the taking. But not only does He call you to solace, but listen, dear child of God, He's calling you and me to surrender. Has there ever been a time in your life when you laid your all upon the altar? For Paul reminds us in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And we've all enjoyed the mercies of God. It's a mercy of God we're here this morning at all. And it's because of His great love wherewith He loved us that we're saved at all. And as Christians, as saints, the call is this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I hear some people talking about the will of God, and they don't seem to distinguish between the directive will of God and the permissive will of God. You learn what the directive will of God for your life is. But He may permit things to come into your life that will challenge you, that will test you, that will try you, that you might lean more heavily upon Him. Friends, what teaching this is. He's calling us to surrender. He wants our wills. Surrender to His perfect and holy will. He wants you and me to cooperate with Him in the working out of His plan for you and me. Have you ever prayed with the psalmist, perfect thou that which concerneth me? God hath a plan and a purpose for each and every life in the meeting this morning. Now listen carefully to this statement, and I've thought about it before I made it. The greatest difficulty God has is to secure the surrender of His own people. Now I know immediately your mind might go to the text that with God there nothing shall be impossible. But you see, sometimes we fight against God's will. Sometimes the church fights against God's will. The individual Christian fights against God's will. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. My son David didn't know what I was preaching on this morning. But he asked me there recently, Dad, do you think are Christians thankful enough for all our blessings in our Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes I don't think we're thankful enough. Yes, this Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. But when was the last time, now be honest with me, when was the last time, dear Christian, you fell at His feet and said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich, so full, and wonderfully free. Yes, we accept God's gifts. But friends, what have we given to Him? Have we given of our persons? Have we given of our purses? Have we given of our praises? Or do we just simply praise one another? like little Jack Horner, who sat in the corner. And he put in his thumb and he pulled out a plum and he said, "Oh, what a good boy am I." Is that our attitude? Did we ever take time to say, "Lord, what will you have me to do? What shall I render unto him for all his blessings toward me?" And how blessedly satisfied the saint of God is when he is consciously doing his good pleasure. Friend, I'll tell you this. The joy bells will be ringing. We'll know the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, flooding our hearts and souls. We'll know his peace. We'll know his presence. And every day will be a glad day when the joy of the Lord is our strength. What do we know about the joy of the Lord? What do I know about the joy of the Lord? Friends, I hope we learn more about it in 2011. Christ's calling us to solace. He's calling us to separation, to surrender. And thirdly, he's calling us to separation. The Apostle John writes these words, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But is there such a thing as a worldly Christian? Is there such a thing as a worldly church?" The great Scotch preacher, Horatius Bonner, once said, "I looked for the church. I found it in the world. I looked for the world, and I found it in the church." Are we living in the Laodicean age? We're so self-satisfied that Christ is outside the door. And our souls don't have the satisfaction that we ought to have in Christ. I believe that's why so many Christians, friends. Now let me say this carefully. But let me say it at the same time. Let me say it lovingly. You know, this is why perhaps today so many Christians know more about what's happening in Coronation Street than they know what's happening in their church and in this old book. Friends, I'm glad I don't watch the soaps. For that's all they are. Suds, you know. Bubbles. They'll burst and they'll fly away. And at the end of life's journey, what will you have? Friends, the world. We are to be a separated people from the world. Let's not be deceived by the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season. Let's not be deceived by the clatter and the call to social service. That might provide you with better surroundings, but it will not eliminate the bitterness and the hardness and the darkness of the spirit that is in natural man. We need Christ. Friends, you may raise the standard of entertainment. And today they have. My, I see the kids playing with computers and one thing, and I'm lost. Friends, they made me as the standard of amusements. And you can go to any town, and we are coming down with amusements, worldly amusements. Is this where the Christian is to be found? Friend, those things will not rally you and me to the standard of Christ or to the banner of the cross. Rather, to the contrary. These things will find us walking afar off. And our usefulness will be hampered. Friends, listen. If you and I as Christians do not have a better life than worldly people or worldly Christians, then it's a sure sign that we are not walking in the sunshine of the love of the Son of God. Walk in the light. Walk in His love. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice, dear brethren, and again I say, rejoice. Find your all in all in Christ. He's more than able to bless you. And finally, Christ called to serve us. Are you prepared to take time to serve the Lord? And it does take time, friends. It takes time to serve Him. But listen, can I talk to the elders? Am I allowed to talk to the elders, Bertie? Am I allowed to talk to the oversight for a moment? Can I talk to the elders who also am an elder? Do you remember what Christ's charge to each one of us was? Feed my lambs. He said that twice. Feed my sheep. See the lambs in this place. Never worry about feeding them with television programs and all the rest of it. Feed them with the Word. My dear young people, read God's Word and read it every day. The more you read it, the more you love it, and the more you love it, the more you'll read it. We're to feed the lambs, we're to feed the sheep. We are to minister to God's own dear people, our brethren and sisters in the faith, His household. The church is a branch in Christ, isn't it? We are a building, a bride, for a brotherhood. And we're here to serve one another and to esteem one another better than ourselves. You see, we're to comfort the people of God with the Word, but we're not to coddle them. Some Christians love to be coddled. But we have a duty to our fellow saints. And that is our loyalty to the Word of God in relation to them. And listen to it. A living expression in your own life of God's love in regard to them. We must seek to be true and faithful at all times. And secondly, listen to the voice of your beloved as He calls you this morning. And He says, go and serve. Go and give. The gospel that we preach is for the world, and we are commanded to give it. We have no choice in this direction. It is our duty. And my late brother-in-law, Pastor Johnny Neal, used to say that the word duty should be writ with large letters. So we don't miss it. But brethren and sisters, it should be intensely loving service. If it's not love, it's like cluttering cymbals and sounding brass. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? If a man say he loved God and hate his brother, now listen to it. These are not my words. These are John's. John says that man's a liar and the truth doesn't abide in him. Strong language, isn't it? John was the apostle of love, but I'll tell you this. He always stood upon the truth. And in conclusion, you know, our service should be for others. It is an incomparable privilege accorded to you and me who profess His name to be His ambassadors, His representatives in this sin-stricken world which is pervaded by dense spiritual darkness, in which we are to be light bearers empowered with a commission and the command of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to preach the gospel to every creature. And to hear the welcoming words of a sin-bearing Savior. Beloved, serve Him as servants of the Lord. Pray and ask the Lord to make you His servant in 2011. Stand up for Christ in 2011, as a soldier of the cross. Hold forth the banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory, His army He shall lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Serve Him as a servant of the Lord. Serve Him as a soldier of the cross. Serve Him as a royal priesthood, as saints at the throne of grace. Oh, what a privilege, dear Christian, is yours of coming boldly to the throne of grace that ye might obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Thank God for our great high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for us. You see, we don't go through this pilgrimage on our own. We don't traverse this waste, howling wilderness on our own. He's with us. And thank God, as our great high priest, He ever liveth in the power of an indissoluble life to pray for us. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. He's there as our great high priest. He's there as our advocate with the Father when we become conscious that we've sinned and failed. Thank God, when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to restore us to sweet fellowship and communion again with Him. He's our great high priest interceding for us. He's our advocate with the Father. Friend, He's the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Lay hold of your privileges.
Christ is there. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's coming again. Let's not be ashamed before Him when He does come. Let's not stand in His presence before those all-seeing eyes that will sift and search and scrutinize all that we have ever said and done, and then bow our heads in shame when we answer to our name and suffer loss. What will it be to suffer loss? I don't know. I've never read an expositor yet who could expound what it means for the Christian to suffer loss. But listen. As the year ends, 2011 opens. Open your ears to the call of Christ and go forth in His name to serve Him in the risen power of a living Savior. And He'll not fail you, friend. And at the end of the day, it will be worth it all when you hear Him say, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." But if I haven't done well, He'll not say, "Well done." He abideth faithful. Will suffer loss. Don't let someone else take your reward. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. Good to see you all. And may the new year be a spiritually prosperous one, that you might know the blessing of God that maketh rich, and which no sorrow is added thereto. God bless you.